MPs have been told that a 12-year-old victim of sexual assault in Northern Ireland had to travel to England under police escort for an abortion. That is the shocking revelation from Dawn Purvis, the former director of the Mary Stopes Pregnancy Advice Service in Belfast. She was giving evidence to the Commons Women and Equalities Committee during its hearing on Northern Ireland's abortion law. Ms Purvis said that an officer had also seized samples from the procedure as evidence. It has again raised the issue of access to abortion services here and how we help women and children who have unwanted pregnancies. Emma Campbell from Alliance for Choice is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Emma.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And Bernie Smith from Precious Life. Good morning to you, Bernie.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What do you think, Emma?
It's sadly not surprising. I know that from the work that we do with the Abortion Support Network over in England, that they helped 50 children between 2017 and 2018 to travel to England for abortions. And they were from Ireland north and south, but a third of those...
Sorry, 50 children between what time period?
2017 and 2018.
50 children in 1 year?
Yeah, and that was the whole of Ireland, Ireland north and south, but a third of those were from Northern Ireland.
And what type of age ranges were you dealing with? Who was the youngest? What age was the youngest?
There was more than one 12-year-old. I think there were 5 14-year-olds, and then they range right up to 17. So it's not an unusual story, sadly. And we know that sexual abuse and sexual crime is not very widely punished in Northern Ireland by the kind of legal system here. And we know that there's a number of women having to travel with their daughters over to England for something that absolutely 100% should be dealt with here. And in fact, that's what one of the court cases in the one of the judicial review court cases is about, because the woman who accessed the pills for her daughter, the daughter was under the age of consent at the time. So it's not an unusual story. It's just so frustrating that we're not being listened to by the UK government in terms of what we need to guarantee the safety and the health of children in Northern Ireland.
Are you concerned when you hear this, Bernie Smith?
Well, I'm concerned that the only answer that we're hearing here is the death of innocent unborn children. And I'm concerned that there's not enough support in place for these young children. And there certainly is a problem. Now, there's no clear evidence that, I'm not sure where this evidence that's presented in this program is coming from, but it's very clear that in the beginning you talked about a 12-year-old being escorted to England to have an abortion. I find that very, very sad, because a rape is a very horrific act of violence against a child or a woman. And we know that those young women need a lot of long-term compassion and care through the difficulty of the conception of rape. But we have to bear in mind the children conceived in rape are still unborn children and should have the same right to life as any other child.
The children who have been raped, you want to force through a pregnancy on them against their will.
Stephen, there's nobody saying anybody's forcing anyone, but what we believe is vitally important that unborn child that's conceived in rape should have the same care, the same protection in law, policy and practice than any other child.
So that would mean in some cases forcing that child through a pregnancy. That would mean in some cases, as you know.
I think it's very clear that abortion is not always the answer for any child who is conceived in rape. Abortion is a second violation of a raped woman. And we would call for stiffer sentencing for the rapists, because they go unpunished. And obviously there's a very clear message out there, a wrong message here in Northern Ireland, that it's okay to abuse children, because sure, abortion will sort the problem out. But we're saying abortion doesn't sort the problem out, whether the child is 12, whether the child is 14, 16, 18. Abortion is horrific, and we should be putting in place better safeguards for children at the age of 12 who are being sexually abused. And from that sexual abuse, then if the case of a rape is presented, then we care for that child. We don't unrape her by giving her an abortion or by permitting an abortion here in the law. We need to protect all unborn children, irregardless of their conception.
Emma?
There's a case, and I'm sorry because I can't remember if it's Uruguay or Paraguay, but the law there forced the 12-year-old to continue with the pregnancy even though she was raped, and she died during childbirth because 12-year-olds aren't equipped to go through childbirth. And that
I don't actually agree with that story because it's traumatic. No,
it's maybe not whether
dramatic.
You agree or not, Bernie. There's no clear evidence of that.
I mean, There's plenty of cases that
she was forced to have a baby that she didn't want because clearly it was non-consensual because she was 12. And I don't think Northern Ireland would want to be looking at that case. 12-year-old die because she was forced to give birth.
Not every 12-year-old who gives birth, even in other circumstances, dies because of abortion. Many women die because the actual abortion destroys their life and the after effects that abortion has on young people mentally and physically. But we should be looking at the bigger problem here. This isn't the grounds to change the law in Northern Ireland. It is grounds to ensure that we protect vulnerable children and continue to protect vulnerable unborn children, regardless of the conception, whether that's a child that's conceived in rape, who, by the way, is still a developing unborn child who has rights and should be protected here in Northern Ireland. In these cases, we should deal with them. We should look at the evidence surrounding them and ensure that young person is protected.
When we learn in this case that we're talking about today, although, Emma, I've got to say, you've brought, like, it's a news story all day long, what you're suggesting, if we check out the facts, that you're aware of, what, 50 children in a year throughout Ireland who have gone to England for an abortion. A third of them, you say, from Northern Ireland, including a number of 12-year-olds. But if we look at this 12-year-old that is at the centre of today's news story, was a victim of sexual assault, had to travel to England under police escort for an abortion. The reporting is that an officer, a police officer, had seized samples from the procedure as evidence.
That's standard because they have to test the DNA to find out who the abuser was. I think that the problem with that is the police officer having to travel with the 12-year-old in a plane. If the 12-year-old had access to be able to terminate her pregnancy in Northern Ireland, she probably wouldn't have even had to meet that police officer, and those two things could have been completely separate. It's just absolutely barbaric that we're asking 12-year-olds, that we're asking anyone to travel on a plane over to England to access healthcare that's accessible to everyone else in the United Kingdom and now Ireland as well. It's absolutely barbaric. And it's absolutely in the hands of Theresa May and Arlene Foster, who we've seen from yesterday, are equally trying to block any movement for Northern Ireland by not ratifying the Istanbul Treaty to the rest of Northern Ireland in the new domestic violence bill going through Parliament. It's an absolute disgrace that they're able to play with women's lives like that over really important legislation, domestic abuse legislation, which would do exactly the things Bernie's talking about, which would be harsher and which would put in place greater safeguards for women and children. And they're blocking that being extended to Northern Ireland because they're scared that an amendment for abortion...
Well, clearly we need to ask the DUP, rather than put words in their mouth, we need to ask them what they're saying. Here's Lucy in Belfast. Morning, Lucy. 03030 80 55 55. Go ahead.
I'd just like to make the point, her age being 12 and the circumstances of conception doesn't change the fact that an abortion would detrimentally hurt and damage her physically, emotionally and psychologically. And the fact that abortion would kill her baby, who deserves his or her fundamental right to life. That girl needs all the love, care and support that we can give her. Often also the baby is the actual only evidence of the rape. Punish the rapist, not the baby. And the bottom line is pro-abortion advocates like Emma are pushing for abortion in any circumstance. They're using this very specific and often rare case to change the law for abortion on demand.
So if in a circumstance, imagine the emotional turmoil, Lucy, of a 12-year-old who does not want the baby. And the parents and her parents don't want the baby either. Now, of course, there are circumstances where they might. But imagine the emotional turmoil of forcing a 12-year-old child to go through with a pregnancy against her will and travel with police to England.
There's no evidence to say that. Have we contacted the PSNI? Have you heard from the PSNI, Stephen, regarding this specific case?
Well, this is Dawn Purvis, who was giving evidence to a committee, a select committee.
Well, I would like to hear from the PSNI and to give clear evidence on this particular case. But as Lucy has very clearly stated, this is barbaric. Abortion is the most awful horror of violence committed on any child, and a child or any born child, to destroy them, tear them limb from limb in the womb, irregardless of the circumstances of their conception. And of course, we're listening to Emma Campbell here presenting very, emotive cases here, when in reality, many girls who conceive and rape continue with their baby with this help and support. And the Rape Crisis Centre in Dublin have made that very clear.
Here's Malachy next. Morning, Malachy.
7 out of 10 women have actually kept their baby.
Hello, Stephen.
Yes, Malachy, go ahead.
Stephen, do you know what really aggravates me about this abortion debate? What really, really boils my blood is, you see these people that want to get it introduced that they can be allowed to murder the little baby. They always start off with, like, worst-case scenarios. You know, I'm like, oh, this wee girl has been assaulted. It's only 12. She needs to have an abortion. But the fact is that probably cases like that only account for maybe 1% of all abortion cases. So what about the rest of them? They're purely just a lifestyle choice. People just want to have an abortion.
Well, I don't know if you're being deliberately provocative today or not.
You know what? They want to have an abortion. They just want rid of it. You know, there's lots of other options, but they don't want the other options.
So you're now a man telling a 12-year-old female how she would feel if she was raped.
Well, here you go. I'm only after making my point. It's only to get it introduced. They just want it introduced, and then
this is a real life situation we're talking about. There's nobody making this scenario up. No, let's not. No, hold on, Malachy. So let's not go off on some tangent about, oh, this is 1%, and what about the other percentage? Let's talk about this real case in which a 12-year-old victim of sexual assault, this child was raped. So let's not go off on any tangents. You would force that 12-year-old child to have a pregnancy against her will.
I'm not saying I would force anybody anything. All I'm saying
is... Yes, you are.
How come this is always the option?
What are you talking about? This is always the option. Let's talk about this case. In this case of a 12-year-old child having been raped, do you think it is right that she has to travel to England under police escort for an abortion?
Well, let's put it to you this way. That might be a wee bit inconvenient that she's going to have to travel to England to have an abortion.
Inconvenient.
It's not half as inconvenient as what it's going to be like for that wee baby.
Emma?
Yeah, my main concern here would be that all that this man Malachy and others like him are trying to do is move the abortion. The abortions for all of these people still happen. We just make them happen far away, or we make them happen illegally. We are not preventing any abortions by our abortion law.
But they're still happening.
Tragic circumstances.
Emma.
Hold on, Bernie. Let's let her finish. Hold on.
And in fact, the countries with the most accessible abortion laws also go hand in hand with the most accessible sex education, the most accessible access to contraception, and therefore have the lowest abortion rates in the world. So if you're working towards reducing abortion rates, then you should be working towards greater access to abortion as healthcare, and instead trying to make people get on planes instead.
But abortion is not healthcare.
Of course, there are people who are the victims of rape and then decide to continue with their pregnancy, of course, and we're not saying that anybody should be forced to have any decision foisted upon them one way or the other. But the people who decide that they do not wish to carry on with the pregnancy from someone who has raped them should be allowed to make that decision with dignity and without having to travel to a different country in order to access that healthcare. And if they're a child, they should absolutely be able to get it at home, with surrounded by their family and the support that they deserve.
But it doesn't change the fact that abortion destroys the innocent unborn child. And whether that abortion takes place in England or Northern Ireland, it's the same result.
Okay.
What we need to do is provide better loving care for that young person or that woman, whatever age she may be, to protect her through the pregnancy and ensure that we don't destroy children. And what Emma is saying clearly is that she wants to force a change in the law here against the views of the majority of people and our political representatives who have spoken in 2016 in the cases of changing the law for rape or any other circumstances. So let's uphold democracy, as our government has stated and as the people continue to state, protect both lives, the mother and the unborn.
Here's Billy in Belfast. Morning, Billy.
Morning, Stephen. For a start, are you going to a Pacquiao fight?
Am I what?
And Las Vegas.
Well, never mind about that when we're talking about this very important story, Billy. We can talk about that another time. So
okay.
What do you think about this?
I'll tell you what I think about it. I think, first of all, any young lady under 14 is entitled to have an abortion. You have to draw the line somewhere. But I also, on the whole, believe that abortion's been taken advantage of.
This is a child we're talking about. This is not a young lady. This is a child.
Well, you heard what I said. I said any young lady under 14 should be entitled to have an abortion.
Under 14?
I would say under 14.
Why 14?
Yes. Why 14 is because I think they're beyond, when they get over 14, they mightn't be technically an adult, but I think they've a bit more sense. That's my opinion, Stephen, but there's too many abortions. Tell the population how many abortions there was when abortion wasn't legal, and how many there is now that it's legal, and how many the taxpayer is paying for. If women are paying for them themselves, I've no objection. They can have as many abortions as they like. I've no religious aspect to it.
I can't understand where you're going with this.
Well,
why has it got to do? It's got nothing to do with money, this, has it?
That you're on about this morning, I think she should be legally entitled to an abortion. All right.
But where does...
I don't think the number of women that go for abortions nowadays should have it paid for by the taxpayer.
And for those women who can't afford an abortion?
Because with the amount of cheap contraceptions that's available, there's no excuse for it to be a... get pregnant nowadays, frankly.
What would you say to Billy Emma?
Cost pennies.
But that 12-year-olds can't take contraception in case they might get raped, and neither can any other woman. Some people don't.
I've already said under 14
reasons, and you can't take contraception in case somebody might rape you, I think. And we also know that there's a very many cases of coercive control. There was one case where, because I used to volunteer at Mary Stopes as an escort, and one of the cases was a woman whose partner had held her down and cut out her contraception implant with a penknife. Now, I'm not really sure
about one or two
of that woman.
When there's thousands and thousands getting abortions.
Well, we're,
I've already said as far as the child goes, she should be entitled to it. Now, what more do you want me to say? I agree with you. Anybody, a child under 14, in my opinion, certainly should be entitled to a free abortion.
Here's Michael in Newton Abbey. Morning, Michael.
All the best.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I would like to take issue with your approach to this morning, to be quite honest with you.
My approach?
Yes. Let me explain why. Let me make it nice and clear. On no less than four occasions, Stephen, you have emphasised the word force. Force. Now, that would imply lots of things, but would you not rather, would it not be more sensible to use the word persuade? Because I think that people, a vulnerable young girl...
It's not persuading.
Excuse me.
It is not persuading.
That's my point.
Sorry, if someone cannot have an abortion and they want one,
sorry,
it is not persuading. It is forcing them to have a child against their will.
No, it's not. Listen to my point, Stephen, please. What my point is this, that would it not be better rather than just take the simple option of because I have so much, you know, sympathy with I think the rapist should be the focus and the target and these sort of issues, right? But my point is this, that if and when there is a pregnancy as a consequence of rape or whatever, I think that what should take place is that all the qualified and professional experts, including the parents, etc., there should be the situation whereby the child should be persuaded first to keep the child with all the necessary services that are available.
Okay, and after that persuasion, if the child still does not want to go through the pregnancy, what happens then? Do you force the child to have a pregnancy?
Hold on a minute. There you're going again using the word.
Yes, I am.
No, what you do is you give them the choices, Stephen.
Yes, and if you give them the choices and if they choose to have an abortion, should they be able to have an abortion?
No, they're
in Northern Ireland.
Despite the fact, Stephen, that I am opposed to abortion on purely on scriptural grounds, okay? despite that, the reality to it is we live in a society today where there is this, where is the opportunity and there is a desire on some people's part. I'm completely opposed to abortion on demand. I am completely opposed to abortion full stop. But the law of the land currently as it stands in Northern Ireland is against it. If there is the if there is a persuasion that that law can be changed, and if it doesn't be,
but Michael,
changed,
you haven't answered the question.
Is available, Stephen.
Michael,
I am about to answer.
Well,
the question.
Well, let's
option is available, then to go to another jurisdiction where the child.
Why should the child not be able to have an abortion in Northern Ireland?
Because we have there's a democracy in this country, Stephen. It has been chosen not to have the law of abortion. And that, again, let's have the art of persuasion. That's that same argument, Stephen. Persuade the people that abortion is a right option. Instead of again, using this word forcing, we're being forced. You know,
if a child does not want, if a child who has been raped does not want to go through with the pregnancy, and people are saying she should not be able to have an abortion, that is forcing that child to continue with a pregnancy.
Sorry,
I don't know why you've got a problem with this.
I disagree with you, Stephen, because I believe that after you have explored all the options of persuasion, after you've explored all the options, including keeping the child,
yes,
and all the services,
yes,
are available, once they have all been explored, and if it is still the decision, then we have in this country the opportunity for them to go to another part of the United Kingdom.
And that's what we're asking, is that fair today? Anne in Crumlin. Morning, Anne.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Anne.
I would like to ask those very Christian people, do any of them foster children? Do any of them actually have an input into any of these children's lives? I'm a foster carer, and I can tell you, Stephen, like these young, vulnerable people usually come from broken homes where they do not have any support, where they are being sexually abused in the home, and if they're not being sexually abused, they're vulnerable young adults who's been taken advantage of on the street by other young fellas.
And you'll be careful about sweeping statements like that, clearly.
There's a whole range of people, that's what I'm saying, there's a whole range, but a lot of the children are in these terrible... So while all these services that they're talking about, I can assure you, these services are not available. Children are getting split up from their sisters and their brothers and put into different homes because people can't take them. There isn't enough foster carers. The support is not out there. It's a lovely thing to say. However, it just isn't there.
And what did you make of what Michael was saying earlier? Our last caller.
I just think he's talking from a religious perspective, and that is not the same as reality. We have to get real about this. People are getting pregnant at 12, 13 and 14, even if they haven't been sexually abused, just because, well, for whatever reason, they're vulnerable or they don't know the difference or they make a mistake. And for those who have the support of their mother and father and a whole family, well, that is just marvellous. But for those children who don't have that, the services are not there.
And thank you. Geraldine in Carnlough. Morning, Geraldine.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead. Thank you.
I just feel that sometimes the people that are on the panel there, it's okay for them. They're reading their statistics that they have. What statistics does a child of 12 years of age have? I mean, you're talking about somebody here that has been raped, dear knows in what circumstances. And of course, if they want to go and have a termination, they should have it. And I think it's a sin for anybody to try and stop them.
Well, Michael in Newton Abbey is talking about persuading them not to.
But, I mean...
And if not allowing that child to have a... I hope I'm not misquoting you here, Michael. Not allowing that child to have an abortion in Northern Ireland, forcing them to go across the water for an abortion.
Well, this whole persuading thing, the child was persuaded into committing to do something with somebody that she didn't want to do anyway. This is where the whole problem started.
Well, the child has been raped.
You need to consider the child. Now, I'm not talking about the unborn fetus. I'm talking about the child herself. In this case, a mother at 12 years of age, I honestly don't think there's many 12-year-old children, girls, ready to be mothers.
Let me let Michael speak to you, Geraldine. Go ahead, Michael.
Good morning,
Geraldine.
Hello. Yes.
We are. Whether everyone agrees about the starting point of a fetus, right? A life. The fact of the matter is that there is a life inside this young person or any female. Therefore, we are looking at the right of life on both counts. And I, and someone has said, a previous caller said about me talking from a religious, I'm talking from both a Christian and a humanitarian point of view. It is the most human basic right, the right to life. The most human basic right is the right to life. And surely we should persuade, try all our human endeavours and our Christian endeavours to ensure that right to life for that child has a right to life,
okay,
and that is being snuffed out at the whim, and many cases.
Okay, let's let Geraldine respond.
Yes, yeah. I'm not in agreement with what you're saying there, because I mean, if a girl has made her mind up with the help of her parents, whatever, at 12 years of age, that a termination is what she wants, we have no right try and persuade her otherwise. I think, honestly, people need to look at each case individually. It's a thing that's entirely up to a person's own self about abortion. But in this case, or in cases similar to this, I do believe that people need to stand back and look at the would-be mother.
Okay, and Denise next. Morning, Denise.
Hi, yeah. Now, I just want to make a point about a lot of these men on the end of the show, and I understand that everybody has an entitlement to make an opinion on this. However, they're quite dismissive. Sure, get her the support and she can have the baby. These men haven't had children themselves. They actually do not understand the physical trauma. I've had two children myself, and I love them dearly, and I would never have an abortion. But however, a 12-year-old girl's body is not, it is, I cannot imagine physically a 12-year-old being forced to have a child. It is horrendous, the very thought of it. And I just think some of the men phoning in, one man, Maliki, saying about, it's only 1%. Yes, it is 1%, but that 1% is a person, it's a child.
And Emma Campbell from Alliance for Choice was telling us this morning that there have been, over the last 12 months alone, a number of 12 and 14-year-olds travelling to England for abortion, 2017 to 2018, she said, year. A number of 12-year-olds. Like, it's unfathomable.
It's horrendous. You just look...
For that to happen to a 12-year-old, to be...
You look at a 12-year-old girl...
Sexually assaulted.
Just look at her. Like I said, I've had children myself. Many other women have. It is absolute trauma to the body. It is. There's no doubt about it. It's a really tough experience, and never mind the pregnancy. A 12-year-old girl, so she could be tiny, she could be fine. It's just the whole psychological side of things that people are just so easy to jump on and say, get her the support, she'll be all right. She might not have support.
And Mark in Belfast, you're calling on a referendum. Look what we've got with a referendum this time.
Well, I would think that the British government should change the law in Parliament so that we can have the referendum. Take it out of the hypocritical politicians' hands. Take it out of the hypocritical Christian people's hands. Let the people speak in a secret ballot. That's when you get the true answer of what people want in this country, when they don't have to say it in front of thousands of people.
Look at the disagreement there is over the Brexit referendum. And you want another one?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The Brexit referendum is what it is. The people voted. Give the people the vote. When the people vote, you get the honest answer. That's it. Whether you like the answer or you don't like the answer is immaterial. I'm for abortion reform, but even if we have a referendum and it comes back to say we can't have it, I hold my hands up and say that's the people speaking.
Okay.
We can't have it,
Mark,
even though I agree with it.
Mark, thank you very much indeed. Thank you. We'll pause there. We'll get the news. It's 9:33.